invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me now to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, what is often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching us how to pray to our Father. We're going to be looking at the fifth petition this morning together of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. I've been very slowly working my way through the Lord's Prayer with you as I visit and preach here at Westminster. And we come this morning to verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to make use of that. I'm going to begin reading at verse 7 of chapter 6, and I'll read down through verse 15. Let's give our attention now to the Word of God. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's stop and ask for God's blessing together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for this sermon from Jesus where he calls us to faith in you and in himself and to walk by faith as your children. And we ask that you would now give us ears to hear your word. We ask that you would hallow your name and cause your kingdom to come and enable us to do your will even as we hear your word and learn from it. Lord, as we've just sung in Psalm 130, we wait upon you now. Our souls wait upon you because we recognize we do not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from your mouth. And so, Lord, give us a hunger for you and for Christ and for your word, your truth. And speak now because your servants, by your grace and by your Spirit, are listening. And so we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin this morning to look at the fifth petition of the Lord's Prayer together, I want you right off the bat to notice how it's connected to the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. It's one sentence. Jesus is teaching us that just like bread is vital and necessary every day of life, so is forgiveness. Just as bread is a great physical need, forgiveness is a great spiritual need that only God can meet. And so this is a vital petition. It wouldn't be here in this prayer if it wasn't. And it's an ongoing petition. It's an ongoing need. It's as necessary, if not more, than our daily bread. But before we take a look at that in depth, I want you to notice one more thing. Remember who Jesus is teaching us to pray to. Look at verse 9. Look at the preface again. Who are we speaking to? Who are we asking to forgive us? our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. This is a prayer. This is a petition of children to a father. Adopted sons and daughters to their redeeming Father. It's a prayer for forgiven sinners covered by the blood of Christ who know God as their forgiving Father, who have an ongoing relationship with Him and know that they have need for daily forgiveness. Daily forgiveness for their ongoing sin, for their debt. Well, with those things in mind, to help us further unpack this fifth petition and pray it with faith and understanding, I want to consider 4 points this morning. I want to consider what our debts are, defining our debts, owning our debts, forgiving our debts, how it is that our debts are forgiven, and then finally, forgiving our debtors. And so let's start by considering our debts, defining our debts. Look again with me at verse 12. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Father in heaven, forgive our debts. To know what we're asking for here, we need to know what our debts are. What are we asking God to forgive? Well, to put it simply, our debts are our sins. Our sins against God. Now, the Bible uses a lot of different words and a lot of different ideas for sin. Maybe you can think of some of the concepts Scripture uses for sin. Uncleanness, unrighteousness, falling short, missing the mark, rebellion, breaking God's law, trespassing against God's law, committing spiritual adultery. And there are many, many more words and concepts for sin. But here, sin is named and pictured as debt. Debt. And our debts are our spiritual debts of sin against God. Now, in common use, debt is most often something of value, often money, that's owed to someone else. Some type of payment that is due to another in order to fulfill an obligation, in order to meet justice. And unpaid debts were a serious offense in the ancient world. Today, debt is very common. Debt is almost an industry. Thousands upon thousands live in increasing debt, and it's almost assumed and expected. And there are entire institutions that make millions by buying and selling debt. But in the ancient world, unpaid debt was so serious that it would often be met with great punishment, severe punishment, usually prison or servitude until those debts were paid. In the ancient world, you didn't file for bankruptcy. You didn't take out another loan. You didn't look to the government to bail you out. You wouldn't even have your assets seized. You would be seized. Jesus is teaching us here that we are debtors, spiritually speaking. And this is a serious situation to be in. We owe our very existence to God. We owe Him our lives, our loyalty, our love, our obedience. But we have not paid up. We've been sinning against Him from the start. We've been racking up an insurmountable debt. And we have both original debt and actual debt, original and actual sin. We were born in debt, if you will, with a sinful nature inherited from Adam. But then on top of that, we have all of our own actual sin in this life as well. Sins of omission, what we leave undone, and sins of commission. The sins that we commit. And we sin with our thoughts, with our words, with our deeds. God made us to live for Him, to glorify Him, to love Him, and love our neighbors, but we are in great debt because we don't do that. We choose the love of self, so often instead of loving him and loving others. We choose to love and worship the creature rather than the creator. We don't love him and love others as we ought. And in our sinful state, we're helpless to do anything other. And so in this petition, we are putting ourselves in our place spiritually before God. In the last petition, in the fourth petition, we did so acknowledging our human frailty and our physical needs, asking for daily bread. But here in the fifth petition, we acknowledge our greatest problem and our greatest need is spiritual. It's our sin, our debt before the God of the universe, the holy God. We are debtors and we are in need of forgiveness. And our debts are not just abstract ideas. Our debts are not just numbers on a balance sheet. Our debts don't just represent a simple theological category. They are real offenses, real wrongs, crimes, if you will, against the real God, willfully committed by us that we need to acknowledge, we need to confess, repent of, and seek forgiveness for. And we need to take personal ownership of our debts. And that's what I want us to consider second this morning, owning our debts, acknowledging that we have debt and that they belong to us. Look again with me at verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, did you notice the plural possessive there? I know I've pointed some of the grammar out to you before, but the word our is important. Forgive us our debts. There's a collective responsibility here. There's an acknowledgement that we are not alone in our debt. We are all collectively, we are all debtors. We're all in this together. And there's an ownership as well. There's a claiming possession of our debts. They are ours. These are not someone else's debts. They are ours. There's no blame shifting in this petition. And the first step in dealing with debt biblically is confessing it to our Father. Owning the fact that we sin, that these are our sins, our debts. Saying, this is mine. That these are ours. Owning our debt. Now, this is not the same thing as being owned by our debt or being defined by our debt, by our sins. And I think this petition raises an important question for us. And that is, why are we being taught to ask for forgiveness of our sins daily and repeatedly if Jesus died for them once for all? If Jesus died for all of our sins once for all, why are we being taught here to repeatedly ask for forgiveness? If all of our sins, past, present, and future, have been paid for in full by Jesus Christ at the cross, if we are in Christ, then why do we have to keep asking for forgiveness? Is this petition not teaching us to think of ourselves as sinners rather than saints? As debtors rather than children of God? Is it questioning our justification? Is it questioning our righteousness that we have in Christ? Does that depend on us daily seeking forgiveness for all of our sins and always forgiving others? If so, this is a terrifying request, a terrifying petition. And in short, the answer to all those questions is no. Jesus is not teaching us that we are condemned debtors and sinners that need to be saved all over again, if we are, in fact, children of God by faith in him. He's not teaching us to doubt our forgiveness that we have in Christ. His work is sufficient once for all of our sins. And we'll get to that more shortly. This petition is not calling into question our ultimate standing before God, our justification in Christ. This petition is also not ultimately or primarily for an unbeliever calling out to the Lord for the first time, although it could certainly be used that way. But rather, this petition is primarily the prayer, the daily prayer of the child of God, acknowledging a fundamental reality. And that is that he or she still sins, still displeases their Father in heaven. They're a forgiven, adopted child of God. All their sins are covered and paid for. Their eternal standing before God is not in jeopardy. And yet they are not yet fully like their Father. They still disobey. They still go against their Father's will. That doesn't make them no longer a child. It doesn't make them a child of wrath again, in need of being justified repeatedly. But rather, it acknowledges that they are a humble, contrite son or daughter who, out of love for their Father who has saved them, comes and says, "Sorry. Forgive me. I've sinned against you. I have done wrong. I am in your debt. I need your forgiveness." And so this petition is not so much requesting the removal of condemnation from God as judge, but the renewal of fellowship with God as Father. It acknowledges that sin breaks fellowship, strains fellowship, creates distance and disharmony in a relationship, and needs to be acknowledged and forgiven. Think about human relationships. This is very similar in human relationships. When you wrong another person, you are in their debt, we could say, because you have sinned against them. You've wronged them. But that doesn't mean you are no longer in a relationship with them. You're no longer their child or their friend or their spouse. It doesn't destroy that relationship. It doesn't dissolve that relationship. But it does create a tension, a barrier. It creates a need. And the way to address that, the way to restore harmony and fellowship in that relationship, is to be reconciled, to admit wrong, to own that debt, to own that sin, and confess that and be forgiven. Seek the forgiveness of that person. Well, in a very similar way, with God our Father, we need to own and acknowledge our debts. We need to admit that we still sin against Him and we need His forgiveness. That we still wrong Him and we don't want to. That we are not perfect yet. And this is part of the tension of the Christian life. We are God's children now by faith in Jesus Christ, united to Christ, as the opening line of this Lord's Prayer reminds us, our Father in heaven. We are children now. We are alive in Christ. We are righteous in Him, holy, justified. There is no condemnation for us. We're eternally secure. We are pardoned in God's sight. All of our iniquities are hurled into the sea. Or as we sang in Psalm 103, they are separated from us as far as east from west is distant. We have been delivered from the guilt and penalty of our debt. And yet we are not yet fully perfected. We are not yet fully sanctified. We are not yet even fully glorified. And even those saints in heaven who are glorified are still awaiting the resurrection and their resurrected bodies. When we're saved, we're not taken to heaven immediately. We live in what's been called the already but not yet tension. As the Reformers used to say, we are simul justus et peccator. And that's Latin for the phrase, at the same time justified and sinful. We are God's children. We are heirs of eternal life. But we are still becoming like His Son. We are still at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil. We still have to pray some of these earlier petitions your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, because we don't do his will always on earth. And the way to deal with the reality of our ongoing sin as God's children is not to say that we can fully overcome it in this life. That's not biblical. It's not to say that God never sees our sin, or he only sees Christ's righteousness. That's also not biblical. God sees all things. He sees that while we are righteous in Christ, we are not yet righteous in all of our deeds. We can still displease our Father. We need his forgiveness. And so, brothers and sisters, the right way, the biblical way to deal with your debts, your ongoing sin, is not to excuse them or deny them or downplay them or ignore them, but rather go to your Father with them. Jesus teaches you to pray this way for a reason. He teaches you to own your debts and take them to the Father, who is ready to forgive. As we read earlier from 1 John 1, verses 8 through 10, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, friends, have you owned your debts? Do you own your sins daily? Don't deceive yourselves. Acknowledge and own your ongoing sin, that you are not yet perfected, that you are not yet fully like Jesus Christ, and repent and seek forgiveness. Pray this petition. Make this a regular daily prayer, confessing specific sins to your Father. Humble yourself before him and confess your sins, seeking his forgiveness. And that leads us to consider third this morning, God graciously forgiving our debts. Forgiving our debts. How is it that God grants the forgiveness that we seek? And why? Why does he? Well, the only way for our debts to be forgiven is by way of payment. God is a just judge, and he cannot overlook evil. He can't simply ignore our very real debt, our wrongs, our sin. He doesn't just forgive and forget our debt and say, we're all good, let's just call it even, let's move on. If someone owed you a great debt, and you couldn't feed your family because they hadn't paid up, they hadn't met that debt, and you went before a judge with your debtor to seek justice and payment, and the judge said, you know what, I'm feeling merciful today. Let's just all get along. Can you just, you know, forgive him and act as though he doesn't really owe you? Would that judge be right? Would justice be served? Do you want to live in a world where debt is no big deal? It can be forgiven and unpaid? Maybe if it's yours, but not if it's against you. Well, God is righteous, and he cannot and does not ignore debt. But thanks be to God, he does, and he can forgive it. And the way he forgives it is not by asking you to pay. It's not by just waiving the debt. It's not by having other good people pay it for you. There's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ and through the payment that he has offered. And Jesus knew that as he taught this petition, as he gave us this petition to pray. He knew that forgiveness could be granted only because he would take our debt himself. He would be our surety, our cosigner, if you will, assuming all responsibility for all of our debts, if we are his, and then paying them in full at the cross, paying for them, and then also crediting to us his debt-free life, his perfect righteousness. You and I can't earn forgiveness by anything that we do. Even if we stopped sinning right now, from here on out, for the rest of our lives, and we lived a perfect life, and we sacrificed all for the Lord, we would come nowhere close to paying for our debts. And yet in our sinful nature, we don't like to acknowledge that. In our foolish pride, we often don't want this good news, this free grace. We create our own debt payment plans, our own debt reduction strategies to try to earn salvation and earn forgiveness and get a little bit of credit. But this is because we don't see the enormity of our debt. We don't see our utter spiritual bankruptcy before the Lord. We don't see our complete inability to pay. The Bible is clear. There is only one way. There's only one name given under heaven, Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But Christ shed his blood. He paid. He came to take your debt himself and pay it in full, cancel it by nailing it to the cross. Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us." Forgiveness can be given once for all only through the perfect life, the shed blood, the payment of Christ, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so this petition is really proclaiming the gospel to us daily. How does the Father forgive our debts? Through the blood of Christ. Through the good news of the gospel. This petition drives you to Jesus Christ. It drives you to the cross. It trains you to lay hold of Jesus daily. It is through him alone that we can have our debts forgiven. And so we appeal to Christ and his perfect work each time we sin and repent and seek fresh forgiveness from the Father. And the Father grants that forgiveness freely and joyfully, not by a new way, not by a new sacrifice, not by something we do, not by a repeated sacrifice, but by the once for all, all-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by the payment he offered. Christ alone can pay for your debts, and he has paid for them if you are his, if you are trusting in him, if you are looking to him alone for this. And so call upon your Father to forgive you for the sake of Christ alone, by the work of Christ alone. And if you've never done so, if you're here this morning and you're listening and you have not done that, if you've not acknowledged your sin and your need for Jesus, your spiritual debt, if you've not acknowledged the fact that you owe the God who gave you life, but you are not able to pay, if this is not something that you do daily, if this is not something you have ever done, don't wait. Go to the Lord and confess your sin. Ask him to be your Father. Ask him to forgive all of your debts through Jesus Christ. Give up trying to pay for yourself, trying to find forgiveness on your own. Find forgiveness in the fountain of all grace, in the riches of Jesus Christ. That leads us to the fourth and final point this morning. That is, the fifth petition doesn't stop with the first phrase, "Forgive us our debts," but it adds a line to the end that I want us to consider fourth and finally this morning, forgiving our debtors. Forgiving our debtors. Look again at verse 12 and then at verse 14 and 15. Verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And then jump down to verse 14. "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We don't have time to do justice to this morning. But this phrase at the end of verse 12, and then the added explanation in verse 14 and 15 after the prayer, they can be a little bit confusing. It can appear on the surface as if Jesus is making God's forgiveness conditional, based on us extending forgiveness. And that's in tension with what we've just been saying. If we do it, if we forgive others, then God responds and he forgives us. But we need to understand Jesus is not saying that. He's not saying that our forgiveness is the cause of God's or is the ultimate condition. What Jesus is doing is making a comparison and then also issuing a warning and an encouragement. Our forgiveness of others is not the foundation of God's forgiveness of us. But it will be, and it must be, a fruit. God's forgiveness is free. It is not earned as a result of our forgiveness to others. It's unconditional. The only conditions are met entirely by Jesus Christ, and we believe upon him and repent of our sins, and we receive that free forgiveness. What Jesus is saying is that those who are truly forgiven by the Father through faith in Christ will be those who go on and forgive others because they've tasted mercy. They know what it is to be forgiven. And their forgiveness of their debtors is a fruit and a sign and a response to the forgiveness they have been given. It is not a work that merits forgiveness. It's a result. We are forgiven by faith alone, but by a faith that does not remain alone. And so the warning here is that if you pray this petition and you think that you have forgiveness, but you will not and you do not forgive your debtors, you in fact may not truly have the forgiveness of God. And it's a warning against hypocrisy that claims Christ, that claims the forgiveness of God, but shows no evidence of it. Shows no evidence of a new heart. No evidence of God's grace in relation to others. This is what's pictured in the parable of the unmerciful servant. You could go and read that later today. It's a contradiction to call on God for mercy and then to turn and give none of that to others who owe us far, far less. And so if there's little grace, little love and forgiveness in you towards others, then this is a warning. It's built into the prayer and the explanation here. God's forgiveness changes us. It humbles us. It makes you loving and patient and forgiving. Colossians 3 verse 13 says, "As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive." And if you're harboring this sin in your life of not forgiving, if you don't confess that and repent of that, why do you expect God to forgive you? He's called you to love as he has first loved, to forgive as he has forgiven you. But this is not just a warning. I think it's also an encouragement. If you do see the fruit of forgiveness in your life, that is evidence of the Father's forgiveness of you. His supernatural work in your heart. Of you truly tasting his grace and his mercy. And wanting to extend that to others. God's forgiveness of our debts drives us to forgive our debtors. Empowers us to do that. And as we forgive our debtors, we become like our forgiving Father, who has forgiven us so much more. And it's really otherworldly when we are able to forgive others. That is only the work of God in us. And it's evidence that God has been merciful to us. He has done a work in us. He has forgiven us. Brothers and sisters, are you forgiving? Are you forgiving those who sin against you? Are you living out the gospel? Are you living out the grace of God to you and your relationships with others in your daily life? This petition calls you and reminds you to do that because your Father forgives you. Well, that brings us to the end of our 4 points this morning, but I want to urge you to continue to consider this petition and pray it and make it your daily prayer. Meditate on this more. We've really just scratched the surface of what is here. Use this petition. Pray this daily. See how it drives you to forgive, to keep short accounts. See how it weaves the gospel into the very heart of this prayer and drives you again and again to the Lord Jesus Christ and His perfect payment, His shed blood. See how it humbles you and reminds you of your spiritual need, your debt, your daily need for your Father to forgive you, the reality that you are not yet fully sanctified. But it brings you to your Father as children, your Father who is full of grace, who's paid all of your debts by His own Son, if you trust in Him. We've heard some warnings this morning. We need to hear the gentle call of our Father to come to Him, to have true forgiveness in Christ today. And we need to be amazed. We need to be in awe. We need to let these realities permeate our lives and our prayer. Trust that your debts have been paid in full. Live in harmony with your Father. Praise and thank Him, and then go out and love and forgive as you have been forgiven. Looking forward to that day when you will no longer need to forgive, and you will no longer need to be forgiven. You will sin no more. This petition will be obsolete one day. And so, brothers and sisters, look to Jesus in faith. Look to your Father in faith and ask Him to forgive your debts as you forgive your debtors because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for Jesus' perfect work and His shed blood, that He has paid for all of our sins if we are in Him by faith. And we thank you that He teaches us how to live by faith and how to daily walk with you, how to battle our sin and seek forgiveness of you, our Father in heaven. And so, Lord, let us pray this. Let us live this out. Let us show this forgiveness to others. And we pray that you would get these truths into our hearts and enable us to live them out to your glory as we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. For we pray in His name. Amen.